It might seem counterintuitive, but many very tall basketball players have a hard time adjusting to life on the court. It's true. The 7'6" tall Manute Bol, 7'6" Sean Bradley, and 7'7" George Murison all had difficulty with life in pro hoops. WNYC's Chris Neary has a profile of the latest Brobdignagian baller to aspire to big league basketball.
Paul Sturgis grew up in Loughborough, England, a town of 60,000 people north of London. He was, he says, just another English kid who loves soccer. That changed when, at 15, he grew a foot to a staggering 7 feet tall. Paul's mother was concerned. But after tests, doctors told the Sturgis family their son wasn't suffering from a genetic disorder. He was just tall. And that he'd get taller. Sturgis investigated a new sport.
I was kind of like natural to it sort of thing. I always had like good hand-eye coordination. I never really tried to dunk until after I was playing for a few weeks. And actually got a dunk in the game. Fans got excited about it and tried to do it every time.
Sturgis was 7'4" when he graduated from high school. But the Dukes and Kentuckys of the world didn't recruit him. He weighed only 195 pounds. And he'd only been playing basketball for a few years. He just wasn't quick enough for big-time American college basketball. But Florida Institute of Technology offered him a scholarship in 2007. His trip to college was featured in the English documentary Britain's Tallest Teens. Here's his then-coach Billy Mims in that documentary.
I believe Paul was born to be a great basketball player. If he wants to be a pro, he has the size, the ability, and the potential to play anywhere in the world he'd like to. Paul could be the next millionaire because of the game of basketball.
But Sturgis played sparingly at Florida Tech, and then at a community college in Florida, and then at Mountain State University in West Virginia. After college, he signed with the Harlem Globetrotters. Crowds loved him. But he still wanted to play in the NBA. During his second year with the Globetrotters, Donnie Nelson Jr., the owner of the Texas Legends of the NBA's Development League, offered Sturgis a spot on the team. It was a big pay cut, but Sturgis said yes.
I'm not going to lie, I'm way behind a lot of guys here. I'm one of those guys that's obviously starting from a low basketball background. So obviously, if I was an NBA player, I'd be in the NBA now. People don't really take in that sort of thing. Like, they assume being a tall guy, I should be able to go out there and get 20 rebounds a night and things like that.
Sturgis sat out the Friday night game I attended against the Rio Grande Valley Vipers. He's just not good enough yet to earn many minutes on the court for the Legends. The Legends blew out the Vipers 146-121. Today, Sturgis is 7'8" and weighs 330 pounds, though he can still get pushed around by shorter, lighter centers because his center of gravity is so high. Sturgis enjoys the attention that comes with his height, for the most part.
Yeah, I have to say, the camera phones are my worst nightmare. I'm not even going to lie. People think they're so slick, sneaking pictures and stuff like that. I mean, I kind of notice it all the time. Normally, I tell them to be quick because obviously if I take one picture and everyone sees it, everyone else is going to come and get a picture. I mean, I'm not going to lie, if I was short and I saw someone like me, I'd probably do the same.
At 26, Sturgis is older than many current NBA stars, but he's unfailingly upbeat. He's got a quote that's often attributed to Eleanor Roosevelt, tattooed on his arm. It reads, in part, "The future belongs to those who believe in the beauty of their dreams."
There's a lot of people that aren't good enough to play sport, so they choose to write about it. They think their opinion is like the end of the world. I used to like to read about myself, but now I don't care because whether it's good or bad, either way, I'm going to do what I want to do, and I'm going to keep pushing to my goals.
Yeah, good. Take, that's it. Quick. This one, go. Quick. Hands up.
The afternoon after the Rio Grande game, Legends assistant coach Bill Peterson runs Sturgis through drills.
Tell you what, I want to jump shot that way. Baseline off the glass.
Every day, Peterson works with Sturgis one-on-one. If Sturgis gets even a little more agile, he could have a long and profitable career.
He's going to be a specialist. A guy that comes in, plays 3 or 4 minutes, affects the game, blocks some shots. I don't think in the past a lot of times people spend a whole lot of time with him. They just look at him and say, oh, he's slow, he can't do it. I'm the kind of person, I look at what you can do, not what you can't do.
Sturgis was a healthy scratch in that night's loss to the Santa Cruz Warriors. After the game, however, he was the main attraction.
Is he really? That's really a giant. That's one of
them. Sturgis stood up and walked to the center of the court. Children following him like a tail follows a comet. They stare, take pictures with their cell phones, get autographs. Right now, this is what Sturgis can offer to the Legends.
Professional sports is all about business, so they're giving to me, they're going to want something back, and there's nothing too much like me out there, and they're taking the publicity from me and giving back the development. So as long as it stays 50-50, I'm very happy with that.
It's not the career others had imagined for him, but Sturgis is still hoping he can make a career in basketball beyond the development league. He hopes to be invited to an NBA summer camp later this year. The Texas Legends season ends April 5th. For Only a Game, I'm Chris Neary.
Only a Game is produced by Karen Given and Doug Trabu. Our technical director is James Trout. We had help this week from Martin Kessler, Marquise Neal, and John, how can we miss you when you won't go away, Parati. Our intern is Zoe Sobel, and our senior producer is Gary Wallach. To read an excerpt and my review of George Will's A Nice Little Place on the North Side, Wrigley Field at 100, please visit onlyagame.org. Our final word this week is from Scott McCoy of the Baseball Project, who talks about the legacy of retired Brave star Dale Murphy.
And he's rewarded with a 2-minute and 20-second punk rock song.
Hey, it could be worse. It could be a 48-minute sonata by an experimental chamber music ensemble. I'm Bill Littlefield. Thanks for listening. I'll see you next week.
Support comes from the John D. and Catherine T. MacArthur Foundation, presenting the MacArthur Award for Creative and Effective Institutions. Winners are at macfound.org. The Pew Charitable Trusts, driven by the power of knowledge to solve today's most challenging problems at pewtrusts.org. And the William and Flora Hewlett Foundation, helping people build measurably better lives on the web at hewlett.org. This is NPR.